Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is transportation for food, shopping, and medical visits. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
And welcome back to Project Independence and You right here at WCWP.org, 88.1 FM on your radio dial. If you still have a radio and it has a dial, you can turn it. You actually turn the knob, right, Otto? We always talk about that.
Yeah.
Instead of scanning. So we've been talking to Nicole Christensen, who is a board certified patient advocate. She is the director of Care Answered and also an author of From Crisis to Calm, a patient advocate's take on health coordination for you, the common caregiver. So you had sent us some interesting points to Nicole that you wanted to go over. I mean, dealing with stress in this ever-changing new normal.
Yes.
New normal. I mean, you know, that's almost like an oxymoron.
There is no normal. It's just ever-changing.
Right. What is normal? The stress levels right now for the caregiver are just through the world. I mean, it's like, in addition to taking care of someone who needs, you know, has a range of care needs to now, not being able to get in the car, take them to a doctor or go out, just go to outings and trying to kind of, you know, live a life that's full. All these new extra dealings with stress. So what are some of the things that you're coming up against yourself with, I would say, your clients and this whole new stress level?
Well, it's really difficult for all of us, right? So many of the isolation just in general is difficult for every single person. But there's my clients that are often isolated by themselves. Or it's just the caregiver and that person, or the caregiver doesn't necessarily live with them. And so there's more caution in providing the care because of logistics of going into the house and them potentially being more susceptible to the coronavirus. So anxiety is really high. And I think my colleagues in the mental health field are seeing it already. And I don't think it's gonna end, you know, meaning the repercussions from this pandemic. But one of the things that I can say, besides, I'll talk a little bit more about telehealth and how that's been really very helpful and how people can gain access to that, is kind of staying in the present, right? So one of the things we hear, I'm sure many of us have heard already, is limit your news. Right? The access to news, you know, because it's kind of made to be stressful, right? But we don't need any more stress. So we just need the facts and then get off and go.
Once a day.
Yeah, exactly. And get on with your day. That's one thing. And the other thing is when I talk about facts, you know, with any kind of anxiety provoking place, feel, whatever's going on in your life, sometimes we can get caught up in our head, right? So let's just focus on the facts and just the facts. I know that's from some old TV show or something. Just the facts.
Just the facts, man. Right.
And not get too boiled up in what could be or, you know, worst possible scenarios and that kind of thing.
Right.
And staying, my colleague says, keep your head where your feet are, right? Don't just go all over the place. Just stay in that moment. And then there's going to be negative things because we're humans, right? That come into our head. So one of the things that I have heard and I like is for every negative thing, think of three positive things, you know, because that negative can really get you going. So, you know, really think of three positive things and write those things down. So I find that to be helpful for my clients. And also just, we've lived lives, we've been through lots of things, maybe not anything that's exactly like this, but what did we use as coping mechanisms at those times? Remember, we're really, really right. strong, you know? So go back to those, think about how strong you are and what you utilize, what got you through difficult situations, and write them down and know that you have a whole list of things to go to kind mm-hmm. of help you through this.
Nada?
Nicole, you touched on telehealth. Mm-hmm. As they know, I'm kind of a big advocate of seniors getting involved with technology. And telehealth and all what actually saved my son-in-law's father to a point is that they had a TV system set up in the house so that they had, and the father knew about it, but they had a handle on how he was doing, where he was, and whatever. And that's how they discovered he had a problem, which they were able to react to quickly. But where I'm going with this is, do you get involved with, you get involved with people primarily when they're in the category where they already have an issue and they have to go to a hospital, or would it be ongoing as far as just normal health, if you will, which could include telehealth visits. It could include a lot of things that do not require somebody to leave their house, frankly, you know, with technology. And, you know, how far into technology do you get as far as managing this situation?
Right. So thank you for asking. Everything is working a little differently, right, than it has mm-hmm. before. But in general, the advocacy that I do comes in many different forms. So there are clients that are at home that need advocacy about getting their best care at home, even before this, get which doctors, help them select doctors and that kind of thing. Then there's hospital bedside advocacy, which is not happening physically at the moment, in which people are in a hospital and they need an advocate. They need somebody to speak for them. So that they can get access to their best care. And then there's people in transition, and that's where we really focus. And so that transition could be hospitalization. It also can be coming home from hospitalization. It can be a decline in health. You know, somebody was doing okay, and then their caregivers or the loved ones have noticed a decline in health. And what's available to us? So right now, as you pointed out, Otto, it's telehealth, right? So even if we're doing fine, right, I want people to access what their options are for telehealth in the future. So now is a great time, if you're feeling great, is to contact your clinician's office and say, how do I reach you? Or if you have a pre-existing condition, when should I be alerted? Because most people are trying to avoid the hospital if at all possible, but there are times that you have to go. So you want to have these conversations and ways to communicate with your clinicians via telehealth. And again, that's either virtually, or meaning that they can see each other like we can see each other now, or really telephonically. It's through the telephone. And that also, just going back to the mental health, is also very, very crucial for anybody that has mental health concerns before now. I can almost guarantee that they're heightened now, like we said, except for everybody. So making sure that you're still staying in contact, whether it's your primary care physician or your therapist or psychologist or psychiatrist, that communication is still happening because it's so much needed. And like you said, mm-hmm. Otto, finding it beforehand is much better than right. being in the crisis. So making sure that line of communication is open and you know exactly how to get in touch with them is really very, very crucial. So I do help people access that, yes.
With one of the benefits, and I'm saying the benefits, but one of the positives that did come out of this is it thrusted all of us into this telehealth world between Zoom and doctors too. I mean, there are people now, especially the older generation, who were kind of forced to adapt somewhat to technology to the phone to, you know, come these, you know, telehealth kind of visits with their doctor. So once this is all over, you know, that I think you're going to see a growth in that. And it makes so much sense for seniors just to have those types of visits where they really don't have to be in a doctor's office, where maybe there are other people there that are sick or having exposure to something. So I think you're going to see a boom.
I think so too. And I think it's opened up. So the thing with crises is that everything has a silver lining in my book, right? So even though this is very, very difficult, I think there's been a halt in telehealth in general, because it's been around, but it's not well utilized because everybody was afraid of the HIPAA laws, quite honestly, on every part of
it. Right, every level, everywhere.
Yes, exactly. But this crisis made it, and I think it was very good for departments of health to realize this, that it's do no harm, right? So it would have been much more harm if people did not have access to their clinicians.
Right.
So what this will look like in the future, I don't know, because there's still going to be concerns when this crisis is over, which it will be, right? There's still be concerns about people's privacy. But I think what happens is we'll be thinking pointedly at how to make that safe, meaning your privacy, your information safe, as well as providing this in the future. I just think that we've crossed a threshold because of this crisis. That's going to be really beneficial for a lot of people that don't have transportation to their doctors, that are too sick to really leave their homes to just go for a basic doctor's visit. So it's going to be an interesting future.
Yeah, definitely. Just like even, I'm sorry, quickly, with like, even with Sandy, we learned so much after that storm, how to better prepare. So it's like, it took Sandy to get, you know, so many of us, especially on Long Island, you know, to really acknowledge that anything could happen and, you know, gas up your car, have a to-go bag, like you talk about too. But anyway, Otto, I know you had a point you wanted
to. Well, if anything comes out of this, a lot of things should come out of this. I know I'm getting emails all the time about using telehealth from a dermatologist, from a Mount Sinai, from whoever. They're all promoting it. But I think one of the things that really has to come out of this is the making a more humane approach out of when somebody has to be in the hospital or in a nursing home or is dying, that people have to be able to have access, whether they have to wear a hazmat suit or whatever. But we have to think about the fact that these kinds of things happen. And all of a sudden now we're going through a 3-month period where people can't be with anybody who's dying. They can't go to a nursing home. They can't be an advocate for their father, their mother, their wife.
You know what, Otto? Let's continue with this because we just have a few seconds. We have to, time flies. It's flying so quickly. So we're just going to take a quick break and then we'll be back